You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Biggie on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here on in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and we are also heard on the World Wide Web all over the world. That's why it says World Wide Web.
All over the world at www.1510@1510wwbc.com and as well on the app. All over the world.
That's right. And Samantha, thank you for co-hosting today.
Always a pleasure.
Our friend Ellen Little is home, taking a break today. We'll see her next week, hopefully. Ellen O'Neill. Yeah, she doesn't want that little anymore. That's correct. So on Mondays, Samantha, Ellen, and I sit here in the studio, which is an extension of, I have to say, my home at this point. This is like my living room, part of it. We've been here. My show is going on 11 years. We've been with Paul for over 4 years, 5 years. I've lost count, Paul. But thank you for running our board. We have an action-packed show planned today. We have an in-studio. We've got Tom and Anita Unruh, right? Did I say it correctly?
Yes.
And I met them when I saw something on Facebook about 100 Acre Hollows. People who are just doing wonderful things to protect the earth, the environment, and invite others to come over and learn what they can to protect wildlife, nature, and look at that beautiful sunset. So welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here, Anita. You bring your mic up closer. Samantha, what a great show. And thank you for being here today as well.
Always. Very excited for today's show. Such a pleasure to be here with Anita and Tom. And looking forward very much so to our first guest today, Manny Diaz, which his segment is going to be sponsored by the Ismail Biggie Family Trust. And he is the chair of the Democratic Party.
Right. And you know what? I am on Facebook, and I try to get quality guests to call in on our show. And sometimes, you know, it takes a while to get people to book them to come on the show. But once they do, we cover everything in this fun, unscripted manner, from the environment. We speak about healthcare. We speak about affordable housing. We speak about whatever
fiscal responsibility.
Takes. That's right. And, you know, it's one of those things where you want to make a difference. And it's easy when your heart's in the right place to make a difference. So in the meantime, while we're waiting for the chair of the Florida Democratic Party, Mr. Manny Diaz, to call in, I just wanted to say, you know, we're all watching what's going on in Afghanistan, right? And this morning I saw, you know, how, you know, people have these memes that they make, and some of them are pretty on spot. It just hit you right on in where it's the truth, right? And the one that I saw this morning, it says, 4 presidents, 20 years later, so many lives lost, trillions of dollars later, and one great president, a man with experience, a man of wisdom, a president named Joe Biden, said, enough. Enough is enough. And, you know, you cannot win a war that's religious with military power. The people of that nation have to want the change that you're bringing to them. Because everybody watch, I was speaking to a 93-year-old man yesterday at work, a patient, and he said, you know, nurse, people know when it's time to walk away from a bad marriage, from a never-ending war, from a job that's not doing what's supposed to do for you anymore. Maybe you've got a bad manager. Maybe the job description doesn't fit you anymore. And people know when to walk away. And I know that right now it seems as though A world is falling apart with Haiti and the earthquake. Over 1,300 people lost their lives.
Our prayers
We're watching
go out
people
to them.
In Afghanistan scramble to leave, and God bless them. They should be able to leave. We thank those who came, who gave their life and dedicated. But you know what? Enough. We have enough trouble in our world today. We need people to vote. We need people to think about the environment. We need people to think about healthcare. We have children in school who are not wearing masks. We have a governor who is not listening to science and using common sense and having faith. And for that, we have to thank people like Mr. Manny Diaz, who's on the phone, and his dedication to the democratic causes and electing Democrats for years is just amazing. And so I know he's on the phone, and we're going to say hello to him really quick. Hello, Mr. Diaz. Thank you for taking the time to call in.
It's my pleasure. By the way, I just heard your excellent, eloquent statement that you were making, and I think you said it all. I don't think you need me anymore.
Well, you know what it is, Mr. Diaz. I've been a lifelong Democrat, and I think I sent you well wishes when you took over as the Florida chair. And mm-hmm. I've always said that I'm fiscally responsible and socially liberal in certain things. And that means right. I think everyone, when they wake up in the morning, we should say, look out, world, this beautiful, magnificent planet that God has created for all of us. What can I do to make the lives of other people easier? What can I do for my community? What can I do for our state? What can I do for the United States, the greatest country on earth? And I think we need more people to be energized, not just in the Florida Democratic Party, but worldwide, to say, what can I do to help other people? Because when I leave this planet, I want to leave it knowing that I was part of the change that I wanted to be. And that's how I think about you. I think about you and your, you know, everything that you've done as a Democrat from day one. So tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and how you got involved with the Florida Democratic Party.
Well, first of all, let me join you in what you said about Haiti. I mean, obviously, as you know, there's so many in our community down here who are clinging to hope, are waiting to hear from their families, and there's no doubt that this area here will obviously be instrumental in ensuring that the people in Haiti get the kind of help they need. And I would just ask everybody around the state who's listening to do your part. Like you just said, she does it to, you know, that's the one thing everybody can wake up this morning and do to help somebody, because right now the situation over there is dire, and it was already dire, and I don't know, I've been working all day, so I've been watching the news, but Grace, I guess, storm headed that way now on top of everything else. I mean, it's very painful.
Yes.
To see what's happening. And But you know, they're resilient people, and we need to be there to help them. And speaking of President Biden, he's already activated USAID and tasked somebody to coordinate the American response. And of course, he did something that we were waiting for a very long time down here, which is to designate temporary protected status to the many Haitian immigrants that we have in this community, whose legal status was in limbo. And President Biden took care of that. So
yeah, well, you know, I was telling my friend Samantha this morning, I'm also a nurse, and I mm-hmm. work with a lot of Haitian Americans, and they are as dedicated and loyal as can be. And the more we protect them and the ones who want to stay in this country and assimilate and work and pay taxes and give back, more kudos to them. And thanks to our president for doing that.
So you were asking me about the why and my background. And,
yeah, because you were the I remember when you were elected mayor in the city of Miami in 2001, and I also remember before that you were just like a lot of us, volunteering, knocking the doors, the grassroots campaign, getting people to vote. And I remember that you started out being an activist like so many of us and a volunteer.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm not going to age myself, so I'm not going to tell you how long ago.
but
that's exactly why I started. And you know, I guess at the heart of it is you're talking to a kid that grew up in poverty and, you know, had the opportunity and achieved the American dream, because the Democratic Party wants every child in America, not just Manny Diaz, but every child in America, to have that opportunity. And as a child, I saw, you know, when we first got here, the rental signs in apartments that would say, no dogs, no Cubans. And when I looked around, it was the Democratic Party who was fighting discrimination, because discrimination against one is discrimination against all. As an immigrant, again, I saw, you know, who was the party that was there to protect my family, and who was the party that was trying to attack and vilify people like me. You know, for many years, my father worked in an auto parts warehouse, you know, 20 years, and never missed a day of work. You know, typical hardworking immigrant, minimum wage, no health insurance. By the way, one day on a Friday afternoon, he was told, after all those years, don't bother coming in next Monday. And so I look around again, and which is the party that is fighting for workers like my dad? Education. I mean, without an education, I wouldn't be where I am today. And it's the Democrats who have always fought for education and the environment. So, you know, the Democratic Party fought for me for all those years, and
yeah.
Here I am.
Well, I think what you're saying I think what you're saying, Chairman Diaz, it's representation. You know, all of us want people in our districts and our communities and in the state to represent who we are. And for you, like me too, I'm an illegalized citizen. I'm an immigrant that came to America. Right. And I enjoy working. I love paying my taxes and knowing that my money is helping people for healthcare and the environment and job security and education and things like that, roads and law enforcement. And I wanted to ask you really quick, somebody just sent me a text to ask you a little bit to talk about why the Florida Democratic Party did not push back on two words, socialism and defund. Mm. I have explained that over and over and over again, that, and I said, okay, I'll ask him. So, you know, I think there comes a time when we have to say, wait a minute, social programs is what we're talking about, not socialism.
Right.
So tell us a little bit about the pushback.
Yeah, I mean, trust me, text that person back and tell them that I was just as frustrated as they were. I spent a good deal of time last year trying to convince the party, trying to convince the campaign. These are not things that just go away. Certainly not by sending a press release saying, no, I'm not a communist, no, I'm not a socialist. But you have to get out there, and you have to push back, and you have to explain to people, what the facts are. And we didn't. We let this thing fester for really... If you want to go back to 2018, or even in my case, in 2012, I remember Romney coming down to South Florida and accusing Obama of being a socialist, blah, 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 blah. And the camp, but see, in that case, the campaign immediately called me and said, you know, we need to cut a TV spot and radio spot to air. And I said, okay, sure, when do you need me? And they said, how about tonight? So we ended up running to my house and cut a commercial in my living room. And that started hitting on the airwaves, and it was on for, like, I don't know, 3 weeks or so, and we moved the needle. Their polling people told me we moved the needle like 10 points in a couple of weeks. So, by the way, that could have been the margin in 2012. So you got to push back, and the good news is that now you have somebody that people know, that have, you know, knew as their mayor. There's nobody in this community that's going to accuse Manny Diaz of being socialist or communist. You know, it just doesn't stick, right?
Right.
And so whenever that stuff surfaces now, I jump on it immediately. I mean, immediately. That same day. I mean, during that same interview. You know, I mean, I was doing an interview initially with regard to the infrastructure bill. And the guy that used to be my city manager in the city of Miami, when I was mayor, is now a congressman. And he was talking about these socialist programs that President Biden is pushing. And I said, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, one of the things I'm very proud of is the fact that in the city we spent, or, you know, had others spend over $10 billion. We invested over $10 billion in one city on infrastructure, and in every neighborhood, by the way. There wasn't a neighborhood here that we didn't touch. And so we redid the entire city. And I said, "Are you gonna tell me that what I did then? When, by the way, you were my city manager. What I did then was socialistic, you know, like some evil, and you know." So That's the kind of stuff you got to do.
Well, and the thing is, we're seeing that Marco Rubio, all of a sudden, he is bringing up that word over and over again. And I have, yeah. I mean, being from Trinidad and from the Caribbean, I have friends from Haiti and Jamaica and Cuba and all over the place, United States, every part of the world, right? And I say to them, well, listen, when you wake up in the morning and you go to work, if you make more money than your neighbor by the grace of God and you have to pay a little more in taxes, that taxes is going towards regular human beings who are called Americans. They are using the roads. They are using the post offices. They have to put their loved one in a nursing home on Medicaid. Maybe they have pregnancy Medicaid, but whatever it is, you can't just make a blanket statement and say Democrats are socialists. It just doesn't work. And I want to ask you, how do we get more people like you and me and others who are willing to use their voice for the common good and push back? What is happening within our party? We call ourselves the big tent. But yet still, we're not seeing those big people living in the tents going out and saying, let's push back on the word defund, because we don't want to defund the police. We need the police. Right. We need to invest in neighborhoods so that the police don't have to go to those neighborhoods so much, you know?
Yeah, that's
right. So how do we get more people to be passionate about things and speak up wisely and eloquently, and not do it with hate and division and anger, but do it with understanding and peace?
Well, one of the things I'm doing and the team is doing is we're putting together precisely what you're saying. We're putting together highly respected, business people in our community who are going to go out and be surrogates, and who are going to go out, and not just surrogates for a campaign, but surrogates for a party and a cause and an explanation. You know, that, by the way, the reason this country is the greatest country is because we have always understood that opportunity is everything, and if Manny Diaz happens to grow up to be a multi-billionaire, God bless him. But we also, in order for the country to succeed, everybody has to have that opportunity, and we can't leave anybody behind. And so, what do you see in some of the countries that you mentioned? I come from Cuba too, right?
Yeah.
Is that there's always this push, right? That look how successful, like you. I mean, I'm socially liberal and fairly fiscally conservative, and like you. But the reason that works is because you make sure that there's a safety net for everybody, and that everybody sees that hope and that opportunity to someday maybe have a shot at doing very well financially or whatever. And that's a message that seems to get lost on people. And that's just one. Now, sometimes it's our own party's fault. I mean, sometimes the use of a term like millionaire is a bad word. It's like, well, no. I mean, that's the American dream. I mean,
it should be that everybody wants to be one.
That's
There's
right.
absolutely exactly. nothing wrong with making your money work for you, and learning the tricks of the trade of financial literacy. I mean, I'm Indian. I think Indian people teach their kids from the womb how to go to school and become a lawyer, doctor, engineer, businessman, and save money. I mean, if you make a dollar and you want to stop at Starbucks and buy coffee, and then you're complaining you don't have money in the bank, think about buying a big can of coffee and making your coffee every day. That's how you save money. But you can't you can't run around with the Starbucks thing in your hand showing off that you just went to Starbucks. But you're complaining that your bank account has a zero. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I still can't get myself to pay, what is it, $3?
$3.79.
I remember when my wife bought me my first set of sneakers that were like almost $100 or something. I said, oh, what? I said, all the sneakers that I owned when I was growing up wouldn't add up to half of $100.
Well, we have a Latina. Yeah. My co-host is a Latina gal from Puerto Rico, and she was very excited that Manny Diaz from Cuba was calling in.
Hola.
And she has a question
hola.
For
hola,
you.
Hola. Hi, Mr. Diaz.
¿En español o en inglés?
Quisiera yo en español, but we have to stick to to English or the Spanglish here.
Okay.
it's an absolute honor and such a pleasure to speak to you. I actually ran for office myself here locally in 2020 with my mom. We made history as the only mother-daughter Latina duo to ever run for city council here in Melbourne. And God willing, we'll do it again in 2024. And
Don't give up hope.
No, never that. And with this amazing lady that inspires me in so many ways in my life, Miss Zita, that I sit here with her every Monday and I learn something different from her. I really want us to come together and let's find a way. Tell me, Manny, what we need to do to make Latinos more aware of the importance of their vote, of this stop sitting around and complain and not contributing the vote. How can we make this a topic of conversation that doesn't rip our families apart? Because you're Cubano, you know you have Dems and you got Republicans, and it becomes like World War III at Thanksgiving dinner. So what can we do to help mobilize and show the importance of the Latino vote? And I'm sure you're going to agree with me, Manny. I don't feel that Latinos or immigrants are the minority anymore. I really feel that we're the new global majority. So what do we need to do?
The Census Bureau just came out and it showed that. Yeah. Browning and
Black men. With a super majority, the census.
Yeah, so I think what she's saying here is we want more Hispanics to register as Democrats, think like Democrats, understand that Democrats is not your enemy. We do want you to make lots and lots of money, but remember that everybody needs to be pulled up by the bootstraps, but you got to give them a boot first.
Exactly. Like you did to me. You gave me a boot with allowing me on your show.
So go ahead, Mr. Diaz. Tell us what we can do.
I think we've got to explain, like, those issues that I raised about why I became a Democrat. I think we need to go back to basics. I think we need to go back to talking to people and explaining to them. And that's been, you know, our fault just as much as anybody else. I mean, one of the examples I use I think we have two zip codes in Miami-Dade County that have the largest number of Obamacare enrollees. And those precincts voted against Biden. and for somebody who spent, you know, 4 years doing everything he could to get rid of Obamacare. So I mean, how does that make sense to you?
Right. It doesn't. They vote against their own interests. So we have a few minutes left and I want to ask you, what is the difference like between the Democratic Party? What do we offer that the Republican Party doesn't offer?
Well, one of the things is exactly what we were just talking about is that sense that we not to use a cliche, but we understand the need to help those that can't help themselves and that need not a handout, you know, I mean, need an arm, you know, need somebody to help pull you. I mean, we all, as kids, one way or another, have always had a teacher, a parent, a coach, or somebody who lent us a hand, you know, and said, here, let me help you. And that little push makes all the difference in the world. I always tell people, my first job was when I was 14. It was a job for kids who lived under poverty. I was making $1.10 an hour. I thought I was, like, rich.
Yeah.
And you look at that, you go, okay, you gave this kid $1.10 so that he could buy books in school and do this and do that. How many times have I paid that back over the last, bunch of years? So it's not that you're like throwing money at people. That's the misnomer that they have created. It's not that you're giving people stuff. It's that you're investing in somebody so that they can fight and have the opportunity of achieving the American dream. That's what the Democratic Party has always been, and it still is. While on the other side, it's more of a Darwin, eat each other kind of thing, and tough cookies. I'm not going to help you.
Well, you're talking about eat each other and Darwinism, you know what came to mind is what's going on with a governor and this mask mandates and the opposition to the local mask mandates. I mean, I thought everybody believed in home rule and they didn't want to interfere the localities. So what's going on with this COVID crisis? We have about 3 minutes left and I want you to talk a little bit about our governor and what happened to him.
Yeah, well, and it's ironic that he's complaining about Biden getting involved because the feds shouldn't get involved in the state. And the question is, well, why is the state getting involved with localities? Why don't you let localities do what they have to do? It's absolutely infuriating to me. It's stunning. All the excuses. I mean, he even said that the immigrants were bringing it in here. And talk about defunding. He wants to defund public education if you do that, or threaten to anyway. He's appealing. He's running for, this is politics. This is pandering, pandering to that radical anti-masking, anti-vaccination, Fox News type. But it's morally reprehensible because now he's playing with children's lives. We can talk about the anti-protest bill and some of the other voter suppression stuff that he's done. But here we're talking about lives. Here we're talking about kids.
So is he pro-life, Mr. So for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with Mr. Manny Diaz, who is the chair of the Florida Democratic Party. So here's a question. So is he pro-vote or is he pro-life?
I don't know. He's pro-Santas.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it looks like he wants people. He's trying to appease to his base more than everyone in the state that actually cares about children and the safety of children. And here's the other one. Another friend of mine wanted to know, what is your opinion on the performance of U.S. Senator Marco Rubio? All of a sudden, his Facebook is filled with verses from the Bible.
I don't know where.
His Facebook page. He's posting a lot of Bible verses recently.
Yeah, I didn't realize he had found religion. But, I mean, he voted against the American Rescue Plan, which, by the way, provided all those COVID vaccinations that we used in Florida and around the country to bring down the numbers until this started. Voted against the infrastructure bill. Voted against the commission on January 6th. He's just playing both sides and pandering to, you know, that base again. And of course, Trump, the leader.
Well, Mr. Diaz, you know what? With the remaining minute or two left, I just wanted to say, you know, I appreciate what you are doing for the Florida Democratic Party. And I know with 1 minute left, there are people in our party who says, oh, all they care about money. And I say to them, we need money to run the party. We need money to pay our rent, our utilities, run ads, pay for high-quality staff. In a minute or two, what do you say to those Democrats who sit on their behinds, don't vote, complain all the time, and then say, oh, the Florida Democratic Party is all about money?
Well, I mean, look at the consequences of the last 20 years of Republican control in Florida. I mean, you know, what I tell people is, look, elections have consequences, and electing Democrats really matters. And look what they're doing. They're preempting all local governments, including school boards, and even business, telling business how to run their businesses. They're taking money away from our schools. They raid the Affordable Housing Trust Fund. Hey, you can go on and on and on. I mean, that's Republican governance. And I'm not proud to be a Floridian. Everywhere you turn, every time I talk to somebody from out of town, we're like the laughingstock. What are you guys doing down there? What are you thinking down there? And it has nothing to do with good government, has nothing to do with helping people, has all to do with political ambition.
So at this point, what we should be telling everyone is, don't worry about what you're hearing in the news coming out of Georgia and Texas and everywhere, and people trying to suppress the vote, and people trying to do redistricting. What you should be doing is making a plan to vote. Know your precinct, know your district, know if you have a valid ID, make sure everything is up to date. Your voter's ID card, your driver's license, hell, bring your passport and your marriage certificate, everything if you have to, but get to the polls and vote either in person or vote by mail. And so, thank you. So give us the website, how we can get a hold of you, or maybe if somebody wanted to send you an email, because the thing is, I think we need to get more people energized and involved, and they should be having kitchen table conversations year-round about what affects them and their family and why they should be protecting the precious right to vote. So give us the website and one more time.
Well, you could just go into floridademocrats.org and it'll get you to our website. And they can also, you know, contact their local Democratic Executive Committee. Each county in the state has one. And that's that's the place closest to home. And just show up and say, I want to work. I want to volunteer.
Thank you so much, Chairman Diaz, for being with us today. It was an absolute honor. We hope to have you one day here in studio with us. And now we're going to go on to a few brief commercials. Thank you.
All right. God bless. Thank you.
...and family of Sita Begee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters, and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 13 locations, including one in Volusia County. With so many MedFast Urgent Care centers, there is a MedFast near you. MedFast offers top quality care that is close by, and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MEDFAST, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MEDFAST. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County. Contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345. Located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne, that's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today. Champion Home Healthcare, keeping your loved one happy, healthy, and at home. Available at 321-306-2551. Once again, 321-306-2551. Champion Home Healthcare is ACHC accredited and licensed, Medicare certified, and a TRICARE provider. Champion Home Healthcare, 306-2551.
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And boy, what a great first segment we had with Chairman Manny Diaz with the Florida Democratic Party. And you know, Sam, you hit it on the head there. We all have to be careful what we're telling our friends and family because they want to know, hey, don't you guys believe in science? Have faith in using common sense down in Florida? And we are. Most of us are. I mean,
and it was amazing. I'm like gleaming with Latino pride today to be able to have had him on the show and to see that, you know, he said, and a lot of us come from those very poor backgrounds. And when you make it a little further, you want to be that example. You want some little kid in the barrio or the hood or the ghetto, like they call it here in Florida, to look up and be like, wow, that girl started out just like me in the projects. I grew up in the projects and now I live in sunny Florida. So you want to inspire the next generation of advocates because we're leaving the world in their hands. That's why this COVID crisis is so scary right now.
Well, that's why I invited my friend Tom and Anita Unrett to come on the show and speak about what they're doing. I read their website and I was blown away, tickled pink about retired people. So many people retire and they don't give back. And so many people retire and they find a cause. Whether it's being an advocate for the elderly with aging, whether it's reading to children in school, whether it is being part of hospice and volunteering, whatever it is, these two people make the time. And Pastor Tom Unrath was born in West Palm Beach, Florida. He grew up pretty much all over the world, and his father was in the Air Force. He was a logistics officer. And I read that Tom also graduated from high school in Turkey. You've been around, Tom.
A little bit.
Yeah. And so, you know why? My next door neighbor, Merrell Anderson, was from Turkey. And we went to visit for a few weeks there. And I loved it. A lot of people smoke. A lot of smoke. But they were good.
That's
and
true.
Tea everywhere. Tea everywhere. But the people were nice. So tell us a little bit. How did you get involved in this nonprofit called 100 Acre Hollows?
100 Acre Hollows is both the name of a corporation and a spot on the map. About 2015... the Brevard County commissioners decided that they wanted to sell this 114-acre parcel because it was the largest piece of property that was owned by the county that wasn't being used. They put it that way. It was unused. When the neighbors heard that it was looking to be sold, a group of folks got together and went before the commissioners to ask them to not sell it. And they gave some pretty good arguments, not the least of which is there's no good way to get in and out of there. The goal was to put 200 houses in there, make some money on the sale of the property, and then get money from the taxes. Now, as a taxpayer, you might say, well, that makes sense. But if you look at the actual location of the property and how you would be able to get in and out, it doesn't make sense. And the commissioners saw that. So they said, okay, well, we won't sell the property, but then what should we do with it? And so that was the next question. It is located in the north part of, just north of Sun Tree.
Yeah, I got lost when I went my first attempt. I saw the opening, but I was like, nah, that's not it. That's just two houses and a little opening there. That couldn't be it. And then the second time when I came back with my husband, that was the opening to the property. But the property is huge and it's beautiful and it's like a part of a gift to this planet.
It is. It's a gorgeous piece of creation that we feel is a gift from God. It is hard to find if you don't have the correct address. If you want to see it, it's at 1170 Rock Springs Drive in the Springs of Sun Tree. As you said, a little piece of property. Technically, the entrance to it is, if you look at a map, called Blue Springs Road. You'll never find it on a map, but it's hidden away in between a bunch of neighborhoods. It's on the north side of Devon's Glen, kind of northwest of Mandarin Lakes, and surrounded by, in other parts, the Springs of Sun Tree, and then Capron Ridge on the north side.
Right, and you live right there. So is that why you got involved, or was there something else that says, I have to do whatever it takes to talk to the county commissioners, get the residents mobilized, and be an advocate to save this property?
It's a multi-layered thing. Yeah, obviously, because I do live right there, my wife and I have a house that actually abuts the property. And our community manager from the Springs of Sun Tree let us know that it was going to be up for sale. We did a little looking around. And again, like I said, it just didn't make sense to sell it, to put 200 houses back there, because there's no good way to get in and out. And it's full of animals and other beautiful trees and grasses and things. In fact, the animals that are out there, first thing that we noticed is a bunch of gopher tortoises. And we wondered, how many gopher tortoises are actually out there? Well, we couldn't get them to line up and count for us. But we did get a permit from the Florida Fish and Wildlife Commission to measure and locate tortoise burrows. And in doing that, about a year and a half ago, we discovered there were 407 active tortoise burrows out there. So you figure that a tortoise may have more than one burrow. It still leaves over 200 tortoises out there, and maybe more.
That's amazing. You beat me to my question, which was going to be, what other kind of animals and trees and things of that nature do you have out on the 110 acres?
We've seen deer, coyotes, rabbits, raccoons. I mean, just about anything that you might find out there. All kinds of different. Well, there's oak trees and lots of native grasses.
Yeah, no, Anita gave me a tour when I came there. And Anita, I'm gonna put you on the spot to ask you this question. So you've been married to Tom for a while. You taught French and Spanish at West Shore Junior Senior High. But you now have this whole world in front of you where you have to learn about native plants and tortoises and the history of this property. And you love it. And when you were giving me the tour, I was amazed at how much you know about the property and the retention ponds. So tell our listeners a little bit give us a little tour. Pretend you're giving us a tour. Like, how did you get started in this too?
Well, as Tom said, we want to help the help save it for the wildlife that lives there. The county was calling it uninhabited, and we pointed out that it is inhabited by lots of animals that live there. There are bobcats out there, and there is a mother bobcat with two babies that we saw just last week, and last night one of the new dads and son who moved into the neighborhood who came out there, they saw a bobcat there. There were a couple of tortoises out. So the animals don't always come out when you get there, but it really is a beautiful place. Now, 5 years ago, when we were at the county commission meeting with pictures telling them we want to save this place, there really was nothing there because the county had mowed it 4 times a year. And so the trees weren't there. Now there are 20-foot slash pine trees there. Beautiful. The saw palmettos are enormous. And those are keystone species, as well as the oak trees, that you have all kinds of animals that use them. So the songbirds are here year-round. Do you remember Hurricane Irma in 2016?
Yes.
That dumped feet of water here. And for 4 months, from October 2016 until January of 2017, there was water in those basins. So there were hundreds of wading birds. One day I saw over 100 glossy ibis. There were roseate spoonbills. There are wood storks, sandhill cranes. A lot of the egrets and animals that are birds that you see in VR wetlands now. Well, many of them were in 100 Acre Hollows for those 4 months because it was all wet and there were beautiful ponds out there.
So Tom, the name, how did you guys decide on the name for this nonprofit?
That's a very interesting story. Actually, it is a, as Anita said, a group of basins. It started off as rapid infiltration basins for a water treatment plant. The hardware of that plant is in the area that is now Mandarin Lakes. They pumped the treated water into these six basins so it could resettle back down into the aquifer. When the area started growing up, they decided it was not big enough to handle it, so they moved that treatment plant out to the end of Wickham Road, where the Archie Grissom Park is now. But these basins, as I said earlier, have got a lot of gopher tortoises, burrowing animals. There was a group of teachers from 4 different schools, from Bayside down in Palm Bay, from Edgewater over in Merritt Island, West Shore near the airport, and Cocoa High School. 4 teachers went to Costa Rica on a Northrop grant to find out how to photograph burrowing animals. And they came back with a mandate that they had to present to their classrooms and get their kids involved. They did a presentation for the community. And during the course of that presentation, they said, this is 100 Acre Hollows because you have all of those basins, hollows, out there. And the name just stuck. That's how it got that name.
Wow. So, interesting. And so, but you're using 100 Acre Hollows to actually educate the community. Tell us a little bit about the community engagement and how can someone contact you if they wanted to bring a group of children or people just to come out and visit and learn something.
Now, for people to just come out and visit, we're open regularly the first and third Sunday evening each month. And that kind of depends on the time of sunset. We call it Sunset in the Hollows because it's wide open and the sunsets are absolutely gorgeous as the sun goes down past Orlando and so on. And it just, it's marvelous. So that's the first and third Sunday, and it kind of depends on the time of the sunset. It'll be earlier in the winter time, and right now it's open 6 to 8. And we'll be in the month of September as well. But people can come out pretty much any time as long as we make an appointment. So they can give us a phone call. Phone number is 321-757-3637, and we can make an appointment to go out there. We've had homeschool groups come out. We've had Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts come out to do projects. We've had a half dozen or more Boy Scout Eagle projects accomplished out there, Girl Scout Silver and Gold Award projects. As I mentioned, homeschool groups and others that just want to come out with a family that's coming in from the hood.
Yeah.
and want to take a tour. And you know, we can do that.
Mm-hmm. Tom, what is your mission?
The mission, as we have put it together, is to protect the wildlife, restore the habitat, and engage the public. And I thank you for this opportunity to do that engagement.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about protecting the wildlife, We just had a recent strategic planning session, actually a couple of them, back in July. And we ask ourselves, is this really still a valid mission statement? And the agreement was yes. But then we started asking the questions, what is it we're protecting? In a lot of ways, it's not just the wildlife, but it's the whole area. And the reason for doing that, you I think mentioned that I'm a retired chaplain. I was in the Air Force for 20 plus years and served in several congregations here in Brevard County after I retired from the Air Force. As a pastor, and I know this is has a history of a Christian radio station here, I see our work as protecting creation. God has given this beautiful creation. Every religion that I'm aware of and every indigenous faith that I'm aware of has it for humans to do the job of protecting and using well that which God has given us. So in some ways, that is what I see for myself as the reason that I want to continue to do what this is.
And you feel good about giving that, and you're actually enhancing the lives of other people through 100 Acre Hollows.
That is our hope.
It's an educational venture. It's an adventure for you guys. To me, it looks like you have decided that this is your little bit that you could give back to the world, find your purpose, because our lives are getting shorter. We're getting to that point where we have this much time left on this earthly journey called life, and you're using it wisely to educate people about nature.
And I think that is what's so beautiful. You're looking at me and seeing my gray hair, aren't you?
Yeah. And mine too. I mean, and it's unique. And you're teaching people about sustainability. It's a unique idea for people to do that. And Anita, when we met with you, you had a few volunteers that were out there, and you guys had a shed. I could see in the future maybe a structure that could withhold storm and rain. If people are there and it starts raining and storming, people could just go under and sit and wait. I see an educational center in the making. What do you see?
We would love to have something like that. And that's sort of in our five-year plan to hopefully have more things out there. This 100 Acre Hollows has a history that goes way back. The Ice Indians had a trail going through that area. So in Anita's imagination, we have a structure that has a thatched roof with the many palm trees that are out there. And it has wooden poles, and it maybe has what you're talking about. Maybe has tarpaulins or something that come down and can shelter people from the rain. But basically, it's an open shade hut. So I hope that's in our 5-year plan. The Army came through in 1837 in January, and General Joseph Hernandez and his troops came through this area. Follow that Ice Indian trail. There is a sign up on 520 in Coco that says the Hernandez Trail went through here. And I checked it out early on with the Historical Society in Coco. And a gentleman, Ben DiBiase, told me about a book. It's called Journey into Wilderness by Dr. Jacob Rhett Mott, M-O-T-T-E. And it's a diary of the Second Seminole War. And when he said they were at Fort Christmas and then they were at Fort Pierce, we know in January 1837, the Army cut a trail through here. And there's a museum in Virginia that's the Army Transportation Museum that has a diorama of a mule and an Army soldier in uniform and a story about the Hernandez Trail. So I'm going, yes, that's right where we are here in Brevard County.
Yes. Absolutely.
So there is the older history, too, and I'd love to have some signs about the Ice Indians and the Hernandez Trail with a shelter.
Yes.
I think that would be beautiful. We went to Fort Christmas when he was younger, and seeing that and the reenactment, and they walk you through the entire thing, I think something like that in Brevard County would be an amazing asset to our public school education system. So if you guys ever need an advocate, definitely keep me in mind.
Yeah.
We could approach the commission and the school board.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
So for our listeners who are tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends today, we're speaking with Tom and Anita Unrath, my friends, who, I have to say, with their time left on this planet, they are giving back to the green spaces, providing green spaces for us to enjoy and breathe. I mean, everybody's talking about breathing during COVID-19. When you go to 100 Acre Hollows, you breathe. It's beautiful. It's nature at its best.
It's 114 acres and you don't have to wear a mask.
That's right. And you know what it is? It's 114 acres of abandoned wastewater retention ponds surrounded by some of the most attractive real estate properties in Brevard County, Florida. And it's also 100 Acre Hollows, for our listeners who are tuning in, is a nonprofit. It's a 501c3 grassroots organization that they're working very hard to enhance their lives and the lives of other people. So, Tom, that brings me to my next question. How can the public support you all financially? What is a website? What is a phone number? How can someone donate time, energy, effort, money, a bench, a tarp, wooden carrot roofs, whatever? How can it help?
Actually, we just finished a fundraiser project that was sponsored by the Gannett Foundation, publisher of the Florida Today newspaper. The challenge was to raise $3,000, and if we did that, then we would be qualified to get a $2,500 grant from the foundation. We were successful in raising the $3,000, and for all of you who may be listening to this who helped to contribute to that, we thank you very, very much. Others who might wish to contribute, you can go to our website. It's 100acrehollows.org. It's all one word, 100 as in the number 100, acre as in the land area, and hollows, H-O-L-L-O-W-S. Please remember, it's 100 Acre Hollows. I don't want to get into a fight with Disney. They have another name that they use.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's very close. but I don't have the financial resources to hire the kind of lawyers that Disney would.
That Disney has, so. I know. But, you know, I feel like I know you and Anita. Because, I mean, I looked at the university. You guys went to Valparaiso University. And I knew when I lived in Indiana, I saw that. And Ahmed and I, Dr. Begina, I lived in Marion, Indiana for about 3 years. And I have to say, I never saw so many blonde people in my life. but, you know, we were the only...
You should go to Minnesota.
I know. I guess somebody told me that. And, you know, what I loved about Marion, Indiana, it was so family-oriented. And they took us in and treated us like we were one of them, even though we were dark people, you know, Indian and Iranian, you know. But we went to their... on Halloween, they had the mazes, and they had the straw out, and people went out there, and they showed us a part of, you know, how this country was built. Because it's all about family and children and looking out for each other. And they do enjoy the parks, I notice, in Indiana. Everybody enjoys going to the parks and being with their... It's a family-oriented state, I think, for the most part. Anyways, so I think I know you two from just everything you've been doing in your life, and I've been doing as well. So for our listeners who are tuning in, the 100 Acre Hollows is open on the first and third Sundays, but they have to call ahead. And so tell them about the entrance again, because that's a little bit, the access to the property and how they can get to it is a little bit tricky.
Yeah. You go through the Springs of Sun Tree and come to a dead end, a wall that says Palm Springs and Magnolia Springs. You head toward Magnolia Springs. The first right that you come to then is Rock Springs Drive. About 10 houses down, you'll come to a space between two houses, and it just looks like a small empty lot. Well, that is actually the road that goes into 100 Acre Hollows. The address, if you want to put it into your GPS, would be 1170 Rock Springs Drive, Melbourne 32940. It's one of the other things I didn't mention earlier, the things that we really are excited about, is the fact that by not having those 200 houses out there, we feel like we're protecting the Indian River Lagoon. This is our community, and we care a lot about not just 100 Acre Hollows, but the entire community and the Indian River Lagoon and all of the issues that it is facing, keeping the runoff, keeping the fertilizer, keeping the other stuff that would accumulate, which would flow directly into the Indian River Lagoon from where we are.
And the traffic.
Is a big deal.
Well, the traffic, extra traffic through that neighborhood would have been horrendous. But, yeah,
true.
I think so.
And I got to say, I really appreciate Commissioner Smith. He's the commissioner for the District 4 of the county, and he's been very supportive, and I appreciate the backing that he's given us. Yes. Unfortunately, he's going to be up for re-electing next year, and I hope that his successor, he's term limited out, will be as supportive as he is, and we'll be looking for that.
Anita, you want to jump in here, but yeah. Go ahead.
I want to thank also the Space Coast Audubon Society. They applied about 3 years ago for an Audubon in Action grant, and they received that grant, and there is a beautiful garden in the southwest that they built and are keeping up. It is all native plants. Also, we got a Keep Brevard Beautiful grant in 2019, and that was a matching grant. And we have a garden right by the entrance. So we have native plants there that can be a demonstration for people to come and see what they could put in their yards.
What a wonderful segment. And I just love Tom and Anita. I mean, what you're doing, you inspire me to give more to the world than I already give. And you inspire more people to listen and look around and do what they can for humanity. Thank you so much for being on the show. Samantha, thank you for co-hosting. Paul, thank you for running the board. And we'll be here next Monday with two completely different guests and Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And we want to thank Manny Diaz, chairman of the Florida Democratic Party, for taking time from his busy schedule to call in
today.
It's all about all of us doing our best on this earthly journey called life. So tune in. You're welcome. I'd love to have you again.